Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. I'm Alistair Black, the senior pastor of the church here, and it's just great to be sharing with you this morning as we continue our series on exploring Christianity. A few months ago, I was taking a radio show, and I do this on a fairly regular basis, and I was getting asked various questions. The format of the show is anybody can ask anything they want, and so you get bombarded with questions about the Bible and Christian theology and practice. But you know, the number one question that comes up, and it almost comes up every time I do that show, is the question, what happens when we die? It's a very compelling question because all of us face it. I believe it's been said that the death rate is 100%, and all of us face the reality of death. The only two things that are certain in life are death and taxes, and we are confronted with that reality, and Christianity specifically addresses that question. And whether you accept the Christian answer to this or not, all of us have to confront that question. One of the things that people have found really difficult in terms of COVID is the separation it's brought between families. And I think it's been particularly hard for grandparents. Now I've joined that class, and it's traumatic to be there, but I have joined that class. I have to say, I was really surprised in terms of my reaction to my granddaughter, because when I held my granddaughter, it was kind of wonderful and nice and things, and I hadn't had any compulsion before seeing her. But after I saw her, the question that immediately entered my mind was, when am I going to see her next? And the thought of actually not being able to be reunited or engage with your family members is something that for a lot of people was really difficult. You know, it's hard to be alienated, and there's something amazing about being reunited. In the past, if you before COVID, if you went to an airport or a train station or just and watched and people watched, you would see people being reunited and the wonder of it and the joy of it. But also, we understand something of the pain of the sense of loss and the pain of actually when someone leaves us and we know that we will never see them again and we'll never be reunited. One of the things, and it doesn't matter how good your relationship is or how strong your relationships are, the reality of death and separation is something that affects us all. Sometimes people use the building, use old buildings, but like buildings that begin to decay and eventually fall apart, the same thing happens in relation to our lives. There is an erosion that goes on until we meet the point of separation. And the question that we have to deal with is, you know, what happens when we die? Sigmund Freud, the psychologist, said, no man can see their own death. And what he meant by that was, he was saying, a lot of us don't like to deal with this question. Maybe you don't want to watch this talk because we're trying to grapple with this question. Many people want to try and run and hide from the reality of death. Sometimes when people close to us die, we just deny its reality. I remember when my father died, I came into work the following morning after I'd been with him at his point of death. I look back at that and I say, what was I doing there? What on earth was I doing? And when I talk to people who know about these things, I was just denying the reality. As people deny reality of death in other ways, you know, they party or they live their lives at 100 miles an hour with loads of activity. So at no point do they ever have to face the finite nature of their existence. But all of us ultimately have to grapple with this question. Christianity invites us to address this. And Christianity makes a dramatic claim. It claims that Jesus has power and authority over death. We've just been reading in Mark chapter 15 the story of Jesus' resurrection. And Mark, throughout his gospel, wants to lead us to this point so that we understand that at the heart of the message of Christianity is the notion that death is not the end. Death is not God's last word, but that there is something beyond death. And so he tells us, and it's interesting as you read through the gospel, you'll actually see it kind of building and affirming over and over again what is about to happen. We're told in Mark chapter 8, Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Then in the following chapter, we're told, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise again. After 3 days, he will rise again. And then in the following chapter, he again repeats, Jesus says, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit of him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. You know, if you, before COVID, when we used to go to the cinema, you would always get the coming attraction. And I always loved watching the trailers. I always tried to get there for the trailers because you would see 3 or 4 trailers of what is coming in the next few weeks. And Mark's doing the same thing in his gospel. He's reiterating over and over again in this lead up to the story of Jesus' death and resurrection of what is going to happen. And he's saying, Jesus is going to die, and then 3 days later, he is going to rise again. Now, if Jesus really did rise again, it has all kinds of ramifications for us. It affirms what Jesus said and taught. It affirms many of the things that Jesus taught about himself. But more importantly, it is also a sign of hope for us because it suggests that death is not the most powerful force on earth, that there is actually at work in this world and in our lives a force that is more powerful than death. Now, I know the question that we might all be asking, but is this really true? Is this just wishful thinking? And I often take funerals, and sometimes in those funerals, there aren't many Christians there. And I sometimes try and explain what Christians believe about this. And you can see it in people's eyes. In fact, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, who was a follower of Jesus, he had the same experience. He said, you know, sometimes when I talk about the resurrection of the dead, people look at me blankly and kind of say, you're deluded, you're deceived. And he said, you know, it's like when you put a seed into the ground. And he said, people will come and they will look at that piece of ground as you come out of winter, and they will say, it is dead. There is nothing there. It is lifeless. And he said, but the spring arrives, and suddenly that seed breaks forth with life. And he says, it's the same with what we Christians believe. You know, we stand and we face the reality of death, and we don't deny that reality. And people might look at us and say, well, you're just pretending. You just can't face the truth. And people say there is nothing there. The person is gone. It's only this life that matters. But as Paul says, we want to affirm that there is the power of resurrection and that there is, again, a rebirth, a new life that happens. Now, again, if Jesus rose from the dead, then this affirms our hope in that reality. Now, again, as I say, people are skeptical about this. And whenever I have conversations with people who are skeptical, I kind of ask them, well, how do you explain Christianity? At the moment, there are more than 2 billion people in this world who worship Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. It's the largest world religion. And again, that's fascinating because it's centered on, as we were saying last week, a crucified Jew who died ashamed and discredited. And the question is, how do we get from an executed criminal on a Judean hillside, how do we get to that, to 2 billion people worshiping him as Lord? You see, something must have happened. It's like when you were a child, if you went to a pond and you threw a rock into the pond, you would see the ripples. And even if you didn't see the rock falling into the pond, you would know that something had gone into the pond because of the ripples that you saw. It's the same in terms of the history of Christianity. You know, while maybe I can't take you to stand in front of an empty tomb and say, see, Jesus is risen, I can show you the ripples and the historical ripples that come out from that moment in Jerusalem, from that Sunday morning when the woman went to that tomb, and you will see the ripples of a movement that grows from a handful of women to a world religion of over 2 billion people. What was it that moved the people from the point of believing everything was desperate, that Jesus had gone, to the fact that individuals began to proclaim the reality of Jesus' power and authority over death? Some people kind of say, well, Jesus wasn't really dead. And Mark, as he tells the story in Mark chapter 15, really deals with a whole bunch of people. He starts in verse 40 with 3 women who watched him suffer and die. And these were women who had been really close to Jesus. These were women who were desperate for Jesus not to die. And we're told that 2 of them actually saw Jesus being buried and that their response was to go out and buy spices. And again, in the ancient world, to buy spices cost you a lot of money. And they bought spices because they were certain that Jesus had died. We're then told that it wasn't only the women that were close to Jesus that were certain that he had died. We actually see the military authorities affirming that Jesus had died. We read as we go on the story of Joseph of Arimathea coming to Pilate. And he asked Pilate for Jesus' body. And Pilate asks, he said, is Jesus really dead? And the centurion is brought in. And he explains to him that Jesus is dead. And again, the one thing that Romans were really good at, they were good at many things, but the one thing that they were exceptionally good at was killing people. And when they said someone was dead, they were definitively dead. We're actually told in another gospel that a soldier actually took a spear and thrust it right through Jesus's heart, through his side, into his heart, to ensure 100% this man was dead. Joseph Arimathea, we're told, took his body and he wrapped him in a funeral cloth. Again, Joseph understood that this man was dead. So as Mark tells the story, we see Pontius Pilate, Joseph of Arimathea, the centurion, and the women were all convinced that Jesus was dead. And all of the evidence points to this reality. And you would think that this would be the end of the story. But we discover that the story continues. And as we move into chapter 16, we see that within 36 hours, some of these women begin to go back to the tomb where Jesus was buried with spices that they had bought. And as they went to the tomb, they began to ask themselves, how are we going to move the stone that Joseph of Arimathea has put in front of this tomb? We're actually told, in fact, that the stone had been rolled there. And if you see these stones, they're not massive, but certainly you could not move them easily if you were an individual. And they wondered how on earth they could do and get into this tomb. And as they went, they discovered that this stone was rolled away. And Jesus is nowhere to be seen. And as they go into the tomb itself, they're told that he is not here. He is risen. He's risen just like they said he would be. And we then go on and read in other parts of the New Testament that there were at least 10 separate occasions that Jesus then appears to his disciple, including 500 people at one time. This was not some conspiracy. This was not some cover-up, but people engaging with the reality of the risen Christ. And here's the other sort of evidence in terms of the fact that he is alive. We discover as we look at the history and we look at those ripple effects, many of the individuals who see Jesus end up dying, end up being killed for their faith. And again, the one thing that is definitely true is that people might die for something they believe is the truth, but isn't. But rarely would anyone die for something they knew to be a lie. And these people died because they knew it was the truth. And here's the further evidence that they knew it was the truth. Because when the Roman authorities took them into places to die, because when people died, they made public spectacle of them and they killed them in horrible ways. And these Christians would go into these arenas and some of them would be beaten to death. Some of them would be boiled in oil to the point of death. Some of them would be killed by wild animals, others by gladiators. And people died in horrible ways. And as the crowds watched these individuals dying, they looked at them and they said, these people are not afraid of death. They're not afraid of death. Why were they not afraid of death? Because they knew the reality of Jesus' resurrection. You know, they understood that Jesus was alive and that he had power and authority over death and that death was not the last word in the story or in our story. Now, Mark doesn't pretend that this isn't hard to get our heads around. And in verse 8, he actually talks about how the women found it hard to come to terms with this. To actually not be terrified by this prospect, but also to come to terms with the reality that Jesus was alive and that death was not the end. And we see a kind of struggle with them in terms of the understanding that Jesus was Lord over death. And maybe you're a bit like that. Maybe you struggle with this. And maybe they didn't understand this, or maybe they just couldn't do it. And there was a temptation for them to forget who Jesus is and what he said and did. And the temptation was to just go on with life as if it was normal and never ask that question of death until you actually had to face it yourselves. But here's the thing about the question. What happens when we die? It just doesn't go away. And maybe you've never had to face it. Maybe you've never had to confront it, but you will confront it. You will have to confront that question both for yourself and for those around you. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, in the sequel to this gospel story, we're told that Paul was explaining to people who, were skeptical about Christianity. But he said, you need to understand this. God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. You know, one of the great things that I can affirm when I take a funeral is that I can say to folks, you know what? There is going to come a day when you will be reunited. You might think that you are separated. You might think that they are gone. You might even think that they are gone forever. But I want to affirm to you, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, this death is not the end. And there will be a point of reunion. And we're told that because Jesus is raised from the dead, we ourselves will be raised to life. And there will be a day when that will happen. And the question is, what's going to happen with ourselves in relation to that resurrection? In Mark's gospel, and we believe that Mark's gospel is based on the recollections of a man called Peter who was very close to Jesus. And if you read the gospel, you'll discover that Peter's relationship with Jesus really doesn't end well as we approach his death. And we're told that Peter actually denies Jesus. And at the point when he needed that support, he needed solidarity, he needed his friends around him, Peter deserted Jesus. I'm sure when he was told by the women, Jesus isn't dead, he's risen from the dead, he's alive, he would have had mixed feelings for Jesus, for Peter, because he knew he was going to be meeting Jesus. And he knew how he had acted towards them towards the end of his life. And he knew how he'd betrayed Jesus. And he kind of wondered, what's going to happen? And it's interesting in the story in Mark chapter 16, verse 7. The women are told, go tell his disciples and Peter. It's a lovely little note. Go and tell Peter. You see, here was someone who was uncertain how the resurrected Christ was going to react to him. And Jesus wanted him to understand the depth of his love and acceptance that he had towards him. You see, Peter was coming to understand how the death of Jesus secured forgiveness and acceptance, and how the resurrection allowed that forgiveness and acceptance to be worked out in a new relationship with Christ. He knew who was waiting for him. He knew that it was the Jesus who had died on a cross to express his love towards him. When I was a young pastor, I had to start taking funerals. And again, it's a real privilege to be with people towards the end of their lives. And sometimes you have to walk people towards their death. And the first funeral I took was of a man who had just newly retired. And he was diagnosed with an inoperable tumor in his brain. And he died fairly quickly after the diagnosis. And I went in to visit him in hospital. And again, of course, you're young and maybe you're a little bit stupid and you really don't know what to say, because it's difficult when you're in those scenarios. You don't automatically know how to respond in the face of death. And so I kind of flippantly, to try and lighten the tone, said, so what's it like to die? And the guy was called John. And John looked up at me. And he just said three words. He said, he is risen. And I knew at that point that he faced death without any fear, that he understood what it meant for Jesus to die and rise again, that he understood that death is not the end because of what Christ has done. He is risen. And here's the thing. How are you going to face your death? What reality are you going to engage with? How are you going to answer that question? What happens when we die? we as Christians affirm that he is risen. And because of his death and resurrection, we will know new life, acceptance, love, and forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. We thank you that through your resurrection, death is defeated. We thank you that although death is a reality that confronts us all, it is not the final word. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would understand the depth and meaning of your death and resurrection. Lord, help us to understand how it expresses your love and forgiveness and acceptance to each one of us. Help us to move into that reality by accepting you as our Lord and Savior. We ask this in your name. Amen.